You know, all of the miracles of Jesus was very important. The purpose of miracles was to confirm that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He used them many times to show God's power and to help people grow in their spirituality. We find also the apostles used the miracles during their teaching of God's word to confirm that God was real, that his word was real, and that his promises were real as well. You know, in fact, John tells us in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, the great purpose of the miracles that we have. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You know, it's amazing when we stop and read particularly from the four Gospels. You know, if you acted out what we have from the four Gospels in the life of Christ, you could put all of it on video in less than a day's time. We have just a tiny bit of what Jesus actually did while he was here upon this earth. And John says, but it's enough that we can believe and know who he is and how important he is to us. Today, I want to talk about one of these miracles. And we've already had it read to us from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. The miracle, of course, of Jesus walking on the water. This story begins after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee in a boat. Now, the Sea of Galilee, along with the Sea of Gennesaret, were two areas that were very easily for storms. Storms would produce almost in an instant, and they could be very severe, and they could destroy any ship that traveled along the sea. And we find that later on, that's exactly what is happening. The disciples encounter a storm. And Jesus, who was still on land at the time, is now coming to them in the most unusual way. He is actually walking on the water. Now, when the disciples see Jesus walking on the water, obviously they didn't recognize him as the Lord. And so they became weary and afraid because they thought they were seeing a ghost. And so Jesus yells out to them, "Take courage, do not be afraid, it is I." And Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, let me come to you on the water." Now we know how Peter is. When we read of the Apostle Peter, he is a very impulsive man. He is one of those people whose mouth goes into motion before his mind goes into gear. Do we know anybody like that? Well, you know one person that way because I'm that way. Sometimes I will speak before thinking, and I guess we all do from time to time. Peter was pretty good at it. He was constantly doing and saying things before he took time to think it through. Now he decides, and I think he was crazy, "I'm going to step out of this boat, and I want to walk to you on the water." So Jesus says, "Come ahead, walk to me on the water." So Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins walking on the water to Jesus. Now, that's a pretty fantastic thing, to be able to walk on the water. And Peter is doing something that no mortal man has ever done. But when Peter looks away from Jesus and he looks around him and he sees this storm, he sees the waves, he feels the rain, and he feels the wind. He may turn to look at his boat, which is being tossed to and fro from the waves on the sea. And he becomes afraid. And he begins to sink. And he cries out, to the Lord. And immediately Jesus stretches out his hands and takes Peter by the hand and saves him from death in the sea. And as they climb into the boat, the storm ceases. The sea becomes calm. And the disciples there, they worship Jesus and they say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I want to suggest to you this morning, my friends, that there are several things that we can learn from this episode. Not the calamity of Peter and his decision to walk on the water, but lessons that will help us live our lives as God's children. So I want to talk about a few of them today. Number one, we are sent on a mission. This story tells us we are sent on a mission. Jesus sent his disciples across the sea to go to the other side. Now, we don't really know why, but he did. And just as certainly as he sent them on this mission, he has sent us on a mission as well. He has left for us the responsibility of letting every creature on the face of this earth know and understand the gospel of Christ. Now, of course, we call this the Great Commission. And three of the four Gospels tell of the Great Commission, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, in the year AD 1964, Paul declares that what was known at that time as the civilized world had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that every creature under the heavens had heard God's word. He tells us this in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. He says, "In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." So Paul is telling us we have accomplished that which God gave to them, to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, today, that accomplishment has fallen. Population of the earth has grown so much over the years. Instead of millions of people on the earth, now we have billions of people on the earth, many of which have never heard the name of Jesus. And we must do our part to carry the gospel to every accountable person that is alive today. We are sent on a mission. And yes, we can accomplish it according to his will, because he is not going to give us something that we cannot do. We know that we can accomplish this. So, Jesus has given us a mission. Another thing that we learn from this parable is that as we go through life, we will find ourselves, like the disciples here, on a troubled sea. The disciples were trying to cross a sea, and it was very difficult because a storm had arisen. And they were in great distress and great fear. And I want to suggest to you today, my friends, that we too are facing a stormy sea. Almost every day in our lives, we will have to face something that is difficult for us. Maybe even to the point that we can't find an answer, and in our own mind, there is no answer. For you see, we live in days of distress. We actually have distress from world conditions, such as wars and famine and crime. But at the same time, as Christians, we also face difficulties in the church. We have to deal with the false teachers. We have to deal with members backsliding back into the world. We have to deal with a lack of willing workers that is unwilling to help us carry out this great commission that we're very far behind in. Jesus tells us we are going to have problems in life. We are going to live a troubled life. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And that's exactly what he did. He overcame the world when he went to the cross. Now many people think, well, that sounds silly, because how can being put to death put an end to the world? We still have worldly problems, and Jesus died on that cross, and we are still living in a world of distress. But Jesus made it possible that in the end, we will overcome this world of distress. And we also need to remember that even while we are here in this life that is filled with trouble, God is still a help for us with that trouble. In Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1, David said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." The disciples, even though they have spent much time with Jesus, they didn't recognize him in the storm. Now, in all possibility, they were frantic when their boat was being tossed to and fro, and no doubt they was busy doing everything they could possibly think of to keep that boat from sinking. So they probably didn't put a lot of notice in Jesus and just simply thought, well, this is a ghost. Now we not only have a sinking ship, we have a ghost coming toward us. They didn't recognize the Lord. My friends, sometimes today, when we face troubles in life, we fail to recognize God. We fail to understand that right in the palm of our hands is the solution to every problem we could possibly have. God's Word, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, has the solution for every problem of life, including today's modern day problems, which did not exist in the time of the writing of the Scripture. God has given us everything that we need. It's good to be in Christ, because we are in the kingdom. We have God working for us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Now, stop there for a second. Some of us think that God can't do very much. Some people think that God is limited in what he can do. Sometimes we may become ill and we may think that God can't help us with our illness. Sometimes we may face financial difficulties and we think that not even God himself can get us out of this mess. We don't realize what we have because we have God. Now let's read on. "According to the power that works in us." What kind of power do we have? Well, we don't have anything special, do we? Yes, we do. We have the ability to communicate with a God who can solve any problem that we could possibly have. Regardless of what it is, our God can solve our problems. "According to the power that works in us." God's power works in us. "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever." God is with us in those last words, forever and ever. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never stops helping us. And when the sea gets rough, God is there. When this sea got rough, God was there walking to them on that rough water. And this signifies that he is with us in every hour of need. We need to remember that as we travel down our weary road. And I guarantee you, we all have a weary road to travel on. And we have help when we are on our troubled sea. Now, let's ask a question. Knowing that God is with us, knowing that we have a tremendous mission ahead, why do we sink? And every one of us have sunk in our lives as a Christian. I don't care who you are. You have had problems that have caused you to walk away from your God. It says in Matthew 14 and verse 30 that when Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and saying, "Lord, save me." My friends, we often begin to sink on our journey. Why? The same reason that Peter did. He looked at the waves instead of looking at Jesus. How many times when things go wrong do we look away from God searching for a solution? Thinking that we can solve our own problems, that we don't need His help. And as a result, we begin to sink. We begin to sink when we look at trouble and allow fear to overcome us. When trouble arises, worry and despair will overtake us, causing us to sink. When we take our eyes off of Jesus and we look at that storm and we allow it to overwhelm us, that's when we begin to sink. So how do we overcome that? What can we do? Well, Paul gives us this answer. Did I miss this? I guess I did. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, he said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Do you know what this is saying? This is trying to tell us we may never really understand our trouble. We may never understand a solution to our problems. But there is one thing that we do need to understand. Our God, the God of peace, can guard us, can protect us, can save us. Now, we may not understand how. We may not understand why these things are happening to us. But we need to understand that God is going to be there for us. Paul even says, you know, we can even take and rejoice. We can rejoice in the fact that we're having problems. Now, I don't know about you, but when something goes wrong in life for me, I don't jump up and down happy about it. I'm going to tell you. It's a problem. But Paul says, even with our problems, we can rejoice in the Lord because He's going to be there. You know, the Lord wants us to be happy. He doesn't want us to be troubled. He doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us to become overwhelmed and not be able to solve the problems of life. Just like He said to the disciples in the storm, Matthew 14, 27, "Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm going to help you. I'm going to get you over this." And every one of us sitting in this room right now can think of times in our lives when we didn't know what to do next. And before we realized it, the problem was gone. That problem had been solved. And we know who did it, don't we? Yeah. We didn't do it ourselves. And if you have a problem in your life right now, my friend, be of peace. God is working for you and with you to help you with your problems. And one day you're going to get up and that problem's going to be gone. It may be at the end of your life when you step toward those pearly gates, but your problem will be over. You know, it's interesting to note that when the disciples were in that boat and they were in that storm and they saw Jesus, of all things, they thought they were seeing a ghost. And Jesus had to calm them down. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. He didn't scold them for being afraid. He didn't scold them for calling him a ghost. But he didn't want them to stay that way. That's why he said, be of good cheer. It's me. I'm here. I'm going to help you. And as soon as he stepped in that boat, he did. He helped Peter before. My friends, Jesus is with us in every storm of life. Remember the promise in Matthew 28, verse 20? I am with you. How long? Always. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Jesus is not only with us in the sunshine. He is also with us in the rain. Paul tells us, Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. That is one of two verses that every Christian needs to put into their mind and keep in their heart. The other one is Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If we can put those two verses into our minds and into our hearts, we don't have to worry about the storms of life. God is going to take care of us. It's just like the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we can say, the Lord is my helper. And know that. I will not fear what man can do to me. Do you not realize that every problem that we have in life began with man? Wow. The devil has many men working for him. Many men, many women, many people that will try to turn you away from God, and every problem that you have ever had is because of one of them, one way or the other, directly or indirectly. And Paul is saying, look, man, or the Hebrew writer, the man can't hurt you. I'm being bound by God. What can man do to me? My friends, we need this in the church today. The reason we have so many Christians sinking in storms today is because they do not have the trust and the faith and the hope in their Lord. They think they can take care of their problems by themselves, and when they try, they fail, and they become overwhelmed, and they just stop. Which brings us to the next point, and this one's very important. When Peter cried out, a hand stretched forth immediately. Peter was in trouble. Peter needed help. He knew that he was sinking, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Now, you know, I've often thought about this in this part of the story. What was Peter's occupation? He was a fisherman. He dealt with water, seas, rivers, every day of his life. You know that man could swim. Why would he begin to go down in water and be afraid? He could swim to that boat. Well, maybe in a calm sea, yeah. But have you ever tried to swim in waves? Let me tell you one thing about waves in the sea. There's another part of a wave that most people don't understand. It's called undercurrent. When that wave comes up one direction, that undercurrent is pulling you the other way. That's why Peter was sinking. He did not have the strength to control himself in that boisterous water. He needed help. Now listen to me, church. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we can't get out of things by ourselves. And we need to understand that Jesus is ready to stretch out his hand and help us immediately. He will never fail. He will never hesitate when we cry for His help. You know, some people, they don't even realize they're sinking. Peter, he did realize he was sinking. My friends, when you get caught up in sin, you need to realize your condition. And you need to realize that this may be something that you can't get out of on your own. Well, we know we can't get out of sin on our own. We know we need God's help with that. Others see this and they don't call for help. My friends, we need to call for help. Jesus will help us immediately. All we have to do is ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." God is always there. He is always going to be with you. Now, one more thought. Stay in the ship. Probably one of the dumbest things that Peter ever did was step out of that boat. The second dumbest thing he did was take his eyes off of the Lord. The smartest thing would be to stay in the ship. There was no reason for Peter to get out of that boat. Jesus was coming to them. All they needed to do was just to wait on him. We need to remember the fact that the wind did not cease until Jesus had Peter back in the boat. Now there's a lesson here for us. Our troubles will not cease if we keep Jesus out. Period. We may think we have solved the world's problems. We may think that we have accomplished what we were wanting to accomplish. But friend, as a child of God, we need to know that until we are with Christ in that boat, we're still lost. As long as we are in the world, we are still lost. I guess we could look at that boat as the church. You know, the ship of this story could actually be the church. We need to stay in the church, or we will find ourselves beginning to sink. You see, as long as we are here, we're protected by God. As long as we are here, we can do the things that God has asked us to do. I want to tell you, my friends, there's no place on this earth that is easier for you to be a Christian than right here in this room with the people sitting next to you who are also trying to be a Christian too. This is the one place where you should be the strongest as a child of God. Because out there, you're not going to have people to help you. In fact, you're going to have people to try to stop you in your Christianity. Stay in the church. Don't let God out of your life. We have been commanded to enter the church and stay in the church as we cross this stormy sea of life. You know, Jesus told us we're not going to have a rosy life. Things are going to go wrong. But I'm going to be there. I'm going to help you. Stay in the church. In the ship, we can live as we have been commanded to live. Now, Jesus was able to walk on water. We are not able to do all the things that Jesus did. We know that. But there are things that we can do. Things that we have been commanded to do. We can carry out this mission. Now, humanity has already proven they've gone into the whole world when it the civilized world as it was known in that day. They didn't have the printed word as we have today when they did it. They didn't have TV. They didn't have radio. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have airplanes that could fly you anywhere on this globe in less than 24 hours. Look at all of the advantages that we have. There is not one single square inch on the face of this earth that we cannot be here within less than a day to teach God's word to people. If there is anybody that can do it, we can. And if there is any shame, and if we don't, it's there. Because we have the ability, we need to do it. And when we begin to sink in life, and we all will, we need to look to Jesus. Because if we do like Peter did, if we look away, we will sink. We also need to understand that God is always there with that helping hand. You know, I show a picture on my sermons every now and then of a man climbing a ladder to heaven. There is no ladder to get you to heaven, okay? We can't do it. But in that illustration of that man climbing that ladder to go to heaven, he gets to the top of that ladder and he's not there yet. He has gone as far as he can go. But the next image in that illustration is this huge hand reaching down, taking us by the hand and pulling us on into heaven. That's God. God will reach down and he will pull us the rest of the way. He will give us the help that we need. And the last thing we need to understand is that if we're going to be a Christian, if we're going to remain a Christian, if we're going to grow, if we're going to thrive as a Christian, we've got to stay in the boat. We've got to stay in the church. We have got to work together as a group of brothers and sisters in Christ, because let me tell you, it's a tug of war. And one person is not going to win a tug of war. It takes all of us pulling and working together. So stay in that ship. And let's cross that river and that sea together. Question for you this morning is this. Are you in that church? Are you a part of that family that works together every day, pulling, struggling, striving to do God's will? You can be a part of the church today. You can give your life to the Lord and be a part of that family. It may be today that you are a Christian, but you have gotten out of the boat. And as you walked out of that boat, you know, it wouldn't be like Peter. Jesus was allowing him to take a few steps on top of the water. The second that you and I walk out, step outside of a boat, what are we going to do? We're going to go down. Unless there's a rock there. And there's usually not. My friends, if you've stepped out of that boat as a Christian and you're beginning to sink, Jesus will help you. You can ask for forgiveness. He will forgive and bring you back safe again. Walking on water was a wonderful miracle of God. It tells us some wonderful lessons to help us live for Him and serve Him. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we sing the song.